John chapter 19, verses 28, and I'm going to read verse 29 also. The fifth word of Jesus on the cross. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, help us to understand what these words mean, because they are here for us. To understand what our Savior did for us and what we need. So be with us in Christ's name. Amen. There's a number of reasons, I believe, why this is revealed. This word of Jesus is revealed to us, and it comes only to us in the gospel according to John. And I believe the Lord wants us to see the real suffering of Jesus as expressed by this thirst. It was real. I came back Monday. I returned from a trip to Arizona, and my family and I had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon and to Sedona, see some of those beautiful sights in Arizona. And when we finally found the Bright Angel Trail going down into the Grand Canyon, my sons and I decided to go as far down as we could with as much time as we had left. And I suppose we made it down to about 500 feet into the Grand Canyon. And as I saw people coming back up the trail, panting and looking half dead, I realized that I should begin returning. What happened is that my wife had joined us, and she deserted the trip and returned. And finally, my one son deserted the trip, and he took all of the water with him. And finally, I was by myself with my one son, and he raced back, and well, he's much younger. And as I started heading back up that trail, I remembered this text that I had to preach, and I said to myself, I thirst. And I think I would have given anything for just a drop of water at that moment. And I realized that being thirsty, going through that thirst, is very human. It's not divine. It's human. John was writing to people much later. His is the last gospel account, and already there were false teachings that were trying to make their way into the church. One, that Jesus really was not God, that he was some lesser being of God, some demiurge who was coming down from God to man, some spirit. There was another teaching that said, well, the body of Jesus wasn't really a body, or Jesus wasn't really God and man. He was more of a phantom. And John wants us to understand, as the Lord wants us to understand through John, that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, that he had to be both God and man. I'm not going to read a couple of catechism questions this afternoon, but I want you to look them up if you have a chance in the Westminster Larger Catechism. Questions 38 and 39 outline why it is so important to understand that Jesus is fully God and fully man and had to suffer as God and man. And the divine nature of Jesus is what sustained him through his suffering, but Jesus did not avail himself of any comfort of the divine nature when he was suffering upon the cross. He was dehydrating, had dehydrated. He lost his blood. He was pierced in his side, and out came water and blood. I don't know if that means he was already suffering from congestive heart, but Jesus was parched, and he was feeling the weakness of his thirst. He was suffering, and he suffered in his human nature. And he suffered the wrath of God in his human nature. The object of the wrath of God on the cross was Jesus. And the object of the wrath of God was our sin. Because Jesus, you see, was bearing our sin, and he was being punished for our sin. But it was as though he himself was bearing the wrath of God, because he did. Not because he deserved it. He was the sinless Son of God, and there's his divine nature. He could not sin. He is God. But he bore the wrath of God, and he bore it for you and me, that our sins might be forgiven. I made the point last night in our Monday-Thursday service that the suffering atonement of Christ on the cross, the shed blood, did not make merely possible the salvation of people. It didn't make Christ's labor and suffering on the cross to shed blood didn't make salvation possible. It saved. The shed blood of Christ and his suffering is effective for salvation and effects it for God's people. It is effective. He bore the wrath that we no longer bear. His suffering fulfilled prophecy. This suffering is also seen in the descriptive prophecies that are fulfilled. Jesus said, "I thirst," to fulfill prophecy. Every prophetic detail would be fulfilled, so anyone knowing the Old Testament scriptures could not miss the fulfillment of them in the person and the suffering of Jesus Christ. You had to close your eyes to that to not see the fulfillment of it. Psalm 22, verse 15, Jesus here through the prophet David, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, is expressing this thirst. Psalm 22, 15, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death." In response to the words of Jesus, "I thirst," someone, and we don't know who, in an act perhaps of compassion, ran and soaked a sponge with wine vinegar, some cheap wine really of that time, and put it on the end of a stalk of hyssop and put it to Jesus' lips. And that fulfilled Psalm 69, verse 21, where Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, through the psalmist says, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." The hyssop was used by the Israelites in the first Passover to smear the blood of the Paschal lamb on the doorpost and the lintels of the doors of their homes to deliver them from the angel of death that killed the firstborn son in Egypt, every firstborn son. And the Lord wants us to see on the cross the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the second time that Jesus expressed his thirst. Well, he never said earlier, "I'm thirsty," but in the same gospel account in John chapter 4, when Jesus and his disciples were on their way from Judea back up to Capernaum, they went through Samaria and they came to a town called Sychar. And as Jesus waited by the well at Sychar, the disciples went into the town to get provisions and to come back. And there Jesus encountered the woman at the well in Sychar. And we have that recorded for us in John 4, 9 through 10. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him," after Jesus asked her for a drink, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Of course, the woman said, well, give me this water to drink that I'll never become thirsty and come here again. And she didn't really understand what Jesus was talking about. And so in verse 14, he said to her, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Perhaps some of you are feeling thirsty right now. I know that I am. Perhaps there's someone out there driving in the car listening to this, or in the truck between jobs perhaps, and you feel your thirst. But I want to ask you, do you feel the thirst in your soul? Do you feel how parched you are in your soul? You know, later on, when the woman went back and the disciples came and they wanted to give Jesus something to eat, Jesus said something very interesting. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father and to finish the work that he has given me to do. The most important thing, Jesus was saying, is for me to be prepared to witness to these people who are coming to hear the gospel. And to finish everything that he has given me to do, everything in my ministry up to the cross, it must be finished. And food and drink to Jesus is really symbolic of his doing the Father's will. But what are you doing? See, that satisfied Jesus to do the Father's will, but what are you doing? You're doing things, you're thinking things, you're behaving in ways that only parch your soul more and more every day. More and more you feel yourself dying within. Hell begins in this life for those who reject Christ. I'm so thankful for hearing about the story of Lazarus and the rich man, because the rich man Dives, what did he ask of Moses? Oh, that someone could just put a drop of water on my parched tongue. I am so thirsty. And there that thirst, that parchedness, that dryness of mouth and soul is at its most horrible peak. But it begins now, doesn't it? And we feel that. We feel that even as believers when we sin, and we realize that as we depart from God, we become thirsty for him again. But when we don't know the Lord, we're dying of spiritual water. And Jesus is saying to us, I will give you living water. I will refresh your soul. I will give you peace. I will take away the pain of your sin, because that's what sin brings. It brings bitterness and pain. And I will give you eternal life, and you will never thirst again. Or you might walk down the Grand Canyon and get thirsty, but you'll not have spiritual thirst in your life again. And my friends, that is what you need this afternoon. Jesus said, I thirst. And he grew very thirsty and suffered for us so that we would not have to be thirsty spiritually. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the water of life. We thank you, Lord, that he thirsted to fulfill prophecy, but also that we might never thirst again spiritually, that we might walk satisfied each day, and that we might find that thirst completely and fully and deliciously satisfied when we enter into your kingdom. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.